All right, let's pray.
Father God, I love you. I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for the Passpoint class and just being able to hang out and chat and just love life together, Lord. We just we praise you for who you are and your Son and just giving us purpose in life, Lord. And it's not just wandering through life, Lord, but we know that there's purpose and there's meaning to everything that you do and that that you allow in our lives. So I pray that you would just help us, Lord. I know there's some things going on in some people's lives that that only you can explain, Lord. So I pray that you would just use this time as a way to just grow closer to you. God, I do thank you for Chris and Lauren, and I pray that we as Passpoint would help them out with the harvest party, that it would be just a good time, Lord. I pray you just speak today. Put me out of the way. I don't really have anything to say, but I think your word does. So I pray you just speak today in Christ's name. Amen. Just real quick, I should have done this before recording, but I guess if you're listening, there's a reason that God did it this way. Just a couple things to pray about, and maybe you don't need to know all the details, and that's fine. But be praying for Brady Barnes' family. His nephew died in a motorcycle accident Friday night, so that's a bad deal. And so just be praying, okay? That's all that needs to do. You know, God's doing what God's doing, and some people are going to ask questions why, and God knows why. And so be praying for that. Also, just some other health issues in the family of Passpoint. So just be praying, okay? Because God's working, and I really don't know any other way to say it than that. So God knows what He's doing, and sometimes we don't need to know, and that's all we need to know. So, all right. If you got any questions, I'm trying to be a little bit vague. I don't know who listens online. So anyway, just be praying. All right. So, okay, if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Ezekiel, right? The pages are probably stuck together because Ezekiel is not a book you spend a whole lot of time in unless you're like really in doing some in-depth Bible study, right? But the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, right? And so who's been keeping up with the reading or been attempting to keep up with the reading? I don't need to know that you're on track, but I want to know who's in the Word daily, right? Who's trying to keep up with what we're doing here, right? So here's my challenge for everybody else and for you who are keeping up. It's September 1st. It's a new month. Okay? And so let's just start anew. We're getting ready to finish up Ezekiel probably this week. And we're going to roll into the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is really cool, right? And then, you know, there's, you know, Jonah's coming up. So there's some cool stuff coming up. And it's not just the Old Testament, like, oh my gosh, I don't understand. There's not all of this going on, okay? And so, and then before you know it, we're going to be in the New Testament. And so I want to finish the year off strong. It doesn't matter. I even had to do a little skip-o of some stuff that I was behind. And I'm like, I'm going to get caught up. And finally, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to pick up where we're at because I want to be reading with where the class is at. And I think it's good. So I will send that out to the men today, and Paige will send that to the ladies today. Satan was attacking our computer system this morning, and so we were not able to print them off. But that's okay, because we're going to have it, and we'll just text it out to you. So the reading list for today. If you are curious, though, for today's reading, it's like Ezekiel, I read it this morning, 41, 42, and 43, okay?
So should start Wednesday.
Yeah, so anyway, just be on that, okay? And so what in the world? okay, so Ezekiel chapter 34. And so here's how I've been doing this. You know, I've been trying to read this stuff, and I told you guys I'm going to teach something out of what we're...
It's fine.
I'm going to try to teach something out of what we read this week, right? And so a lot of times when I'm reading, I'm doing my daily reading, I'm not reading this stuff thinking, okay, what am I going to teach on Sunday? And a lot of times I just don't. And even so much so that yesterday I told Paige, because I'm like, I don't have any idea what I'm teaching tomorrow. And I've even been in the reading more than I had been, you know, in some other times. So what I normally do is I circle back, and you know, when God gives me something, I underline and I write up in my Bible, which I'm learning isn't the best thing in my little Bible, because once you underline a few things, then it's like the words are really blurred together, and I'm not as young as I used to be. But anyway, so I circle back, and God had showed me some stuff out of this chapter, and Paige had even said, you know, Ezekiel 34 is really good. And it really is. And I had already wrote up a bunch of things on my own. So that's kind of where I'm circling back. Another, if you missed it, another really cool story in Ezekiel is in chapter 37, right? Ezekiel 37, where God just brings this valley of dry bones to life. But I'm not teaching about that today, so you have to read it on your own. And it's really cool. So anyway, Ezekiel chapter 34. So I got six ways today, six ways that God cares for His church out of this chapter, right? And so you might be like, are you sure? It's kind of a reach. No, it's really not, because the more I read this thing, I don't know what was going on. There's some different things going on, and so I want to just kind of springboard off of this of what God's doing in our lives, right? Because obviously we know the book of Ezekiel isn't written to the church. We are the church, right? And so you could be like, well, that has nothing to do with us, Jason. Okay, maybe doctrinally? I don't know if I'm saying that right. I don't know, whatever. You're picking up what I'm throwing down. Obviously, he's writing to the Jews, right? He's writing to the nation of Israel because, just like they have been for the entire Old Testament, they've acted like a bunch of knotheads, and they can't get it right. And God is finally like, okay, this is what I'm going to do to take care of it. But we as the church, as the body of Christ, we can take this and apply it to us inspirationally, right? There's a lot of things here that are like, that makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of things in our life that can go with this. So I want a little bit of feedback from you guys today as we go through this, and we'll see how this works. I always say I do, and then y'all don't say anything. So maybe we're just going to like listen to Cleo talk to us or something. I don't know. So anyway, so Ezekiel chapter 34, let's just get into a little bit of this at first. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, so me being Ezekiel, right? Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, and ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which is broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought they which was lost. But with force and with cruelty you have ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search after them. Right? So here's your first thing. Here's your first way. And you'll see as we get towards the end of this how it kind of all comes full circle. So you got to stay awake to pick up what I'm throwing down. But here's your first way that God, he perceives the problem. God perceives the problem, right? And so I know we're not talking about the church, but God perceives the problem. What am I talking about that? When you read that, what is he talking about? I mean, are we really talking about, the sheep in the field? No, that's not what we're getting at, right? That's not what God's getting at, and we've got to see past the words on the page, right? What's he talking about then? I mean, for us today, yeah. He's talking about the nation of Israel, right? He's talking about Israel. That is, you know, the shepherds being the leaders, right? So we as leaders, we as the shepherds, and you might be like, okay, well, this is for you then, Jason, right? Because you're supposed to be the leader. No, no. I'm talking about to every one of you husbands, right? To every one of you wives to your children, right? You are shepherding something. You might be like, well, I'm not in any of those categories. I promise you, I could go around the room to every single one of you. There is something, someone that you are shepherding. If nothing else, your own heart. Right? Because you're the one who makes that choice. There is something you are shepherding. Right? And so, anyway, there's something that's going on. And so, God is letting these guys know, hey, I see what's going on here. Right? I see what's going on here. And so, how many times in our life, because this happens to me even, right? Do we think that God just doesn't understand my problem? God doesn't completely understand what it is that I'm going through, right? I know that God is—he's God, right? And He knows everything that's going on, and He gets it, right? He's God, but I don't think He really understands what I've got going, right? Or maybe He understands it; He just doesn't really care that much because it's a little thing. It's big to me, but it's kind of little in the grand scheme of things, right? Well, no, God perceives your problem. That's what he's telling these guys. He's like, I see what's going on here. I see that your leaders, right, whether he's talking to you, wife, husband, straighten up, whether he's talking to you, children, parents, straighten up, whether he's talking to you, church, right, leaders, straighten up, I see that there's an issue. I see it. I see your problem. That's what he's saying. You're thinking that I'm not seeing what's happening here. I see what's going on. I see that there's a struggle. I see that you're not getting fed the way that you need fed. I see that you're not getting what you feel like you should get. I get it. Right? God's like, I see what's going on here. God he perceives the problem. The first thing you have to do to fix anything is see what's wrong with it. Right? Now, that works really good in my brain because I'm like, yeah, it's broke. Let's figure out what's wrong with it. Let's get the parts and let's fix it. Whatever it is. Same thing in your life. You might see that there is an issue and I just can't put my finger on it. There's something not right. I feel like I'm getting wronged. I feel like there's something's just not adding up, right? And if only this would happen, or if only this would happen, or if only that person would just get it. God sees it, right? God knows it. You might go, okay, well, God knows it. Why didn't he take care of it? He will. In his time and in his way. Right? But he perceives your problem. He sees what's going on. And if he doesn't see what's going on, then what he does next doesn't make any sense, right? So what he does next? Moving on. Verse 7. Therefore, ye shepherds, this is God talking, right, through Ezekiel. Hear the words of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flocks became a prey, and my flock became meat unto every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flocks, but my shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flocks. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. There's a lot of words there saying, hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. Verse 10, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding my flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Right? That they might be meat. So here's the second way that God cares for his church. He promises judgment to the wicked. Right? He promises. So you might be like, okay, so you're telling me, Jason, that God does care. Not care. He does care. God does see the things that are going on in my life. Alright, I believe you. I don't really see it, and I'm struggling with it. But, okay. I'm picking up what you're saying, but how is he going to do that? God's going to take care of it. But like I said before, it's going to be when? In his time. And it's going to be how? In his way. Right? Now, sometimes that's hard for us, especially in the year 2019, right? September of 2019. Oh my gosh, this year's almost gone, right? To understand, because I want this problem solved right now, right? And if I was to go about this in a worldly way, I could solve this problem right now, right? Because we have a way to fix everything, right? We have a way to drown out every sorrow. We have a way to... But if we're going to choose to live godly, we have to trust that, yes, God does see it. God does understand it. God understands your struggle more than I do. I don't know what's going on in your life. I only know what you guys tell me. And believe it or not, I already know that you guys don't tell me everything. So you're like, oh my gosh, he knows that? Yes, I know that. There are things in your life that I know that you don't tell me. There are things in your life that I know about that you don't know that I know about. Right? And I wish I didn't know. If that makes any sense. But God's working through it. God knows the issue, right? And so stop trying to please me. Stop trying to appease who you think the next leader is. And start just seeing that, oh, it's God that I'm supposed to be talking to. God sees your issue, and here's what he says he's going to do about it. I'm going to take care of it. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, exactly how he wants to. And sometimes that's hard. He says, I'm going to take care of it. Oh, you've got a leadership problem. You've got a shepherding problem. I'll take care of them. Right? I'll take care of them. But, and you'll find out here in a little bit, that's going to come with also some things that you've got to do. Right? There's also some... It's not just like, oh, well, finally you're going to get my husband to do something. Right? Finally you're going to get my Bible hour teacher to start teaching something. Right? He's going to start leading us. Right? Oh, yes. Yes, finally that's going to happen, hopefully. At least as far as in my case. I don't know about your husband. But finally that's going to happen, but God's going to require something of you as well. We'll get there. Right? But you have to believe that, yes, God understands it. God sees it. And you might be like, no, okay, I get it, Jason. You understand some of their problems, but you don't understand my problem. Okay. God does. Okay? God does. He sees it. He understands what you're struggling with day in and day out. And He's like, hey, I'll take care of it. I will take care of it. He might be like, how? Well, we'll see, right? You just have to believe that, yes, He will. And immediately He tells you, okay, I'm going to start. I'll take care of this bad leadership problem. I'll take care. I will judge, right? He promises judgment to the wicked. You might be like, well, it's not really a wicked... Okay, He promises judgment to those that are wrong. To those that are in the wrong, okay? Does that make sense? Moving on. Number 3, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold... So here's the first way He's going to take care of it. I, not me, but God, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Wait, that's one thing that wasn't happening before. God's going to take care of that. As the shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that is among his sheep, and they that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. But that's another thing that wasn't happening, God's going to take care of. And I will bring them out of the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and upon high mountains, and Israel shall their fold be, and they shall lie in a good fold. And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which is lost, and I will bring again that which is driven away. I will build up that which is broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat among the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. So, you know what He's going to do? He's going to do all those things that you thought weren't happening. All those things that you're like, man, I just wish my husband would. I just wish my wife would. I just wish my kids would. I just wish my church would. And I was like, oh yeah, all those things, I'll do those things. I got it, right? Here's the next thing He's going to do. He proves His love with actions, right? God proves His love with actions. You know, what does that mean? Right? How many people in this room, I'm sure everyone, if I gave you opportunity, right? How many people would say, I heard what God would do, and it sounded good. But I never would have believed what He was actually did. Right? I knew when I heard the gospel, it sounded good. I knew that the promise of His word sounded all right. But if you would have told me then what He was going to do in my life from then until now, I never would have believed it. God proves His love through action, right? I mean, how many people would say, yeah, I've seen that, right? And you might be like, well, I haven't seen that. Okay, well, take the testimony of those around you, okay? The Word of God sounds great. But when it's lived out, it's even better, right? It's that much better. God proves His love with actions. He doesn't just say, okay, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. He actually does it, right? Look around. You see people's lives change, and it's not because, that's what the Word of God says. It's because that's what He's doing, right? He's actually taking people's lives, and He is changing them. How do you argue with that? Like, it drives me crazy when somebody wants to say, hey, I'm just not really into that whole Jesus thing. I'm not into the whole church thing. I'm not into the whole God thing. I'm like, that's, to me, and if this offends somebody that's listening online, that's a really dumb argument. I mean, and that's just, boil it down, that's a really dumb argument, because you can't argue with something that I can see, right? Like, if I take this coffee, which I would never do because it's coffee, and dump it on the floor, right? Not because it's going to make a stain on the floor, but because it's coffee, right? I'm going to dump that on the floor. If I was to do that, like, it happened, right? You can't undo that. And that's like somebody coming along and saying, yeah, but I don't really believe that really happened. You just saw it happen, right? My life... Well, come here, you want to taste some of it? You can't argue with what you see, right? You just can't. That's why, like, magicians make all this money, because it's like, you don't believe it, but you see it, and it's like, I don't even, right? But that's not how God is, right? God, I don't even know how to put into words, you can't undo what you've seen, right? I couldn't go back to the life I lived before because of what I've seen Him do in my life, right? And so how God proves His love with actions, right? And here's one other thing I want to point out before we keep moving in this section, right? Because this isn't really going along with what I'm talking about, how God cares for His church, but we as a church should take notice to this. Because He's calling out these shepherds, right? He's calling out the fact that they're not feeding the sheep, right? He's calling out the fact that if you're not going to do it, I'll take care of it. Here's just something, and this is something that God gave me, so maybe you like it or you won't, I don't know, but if we're not feeding the sheep like we're told to, this is what He's going to do, because God will do it. He says He will. He says, I'll feed them in a good pasture. Okay, well, you could take that word pasture and just replace it with church. Right? I'll feed them in a good pasture, and upon high mountains of Israel shall be their fold be, and they shall lie in a good fold. Right? Well, that fold could be church, right? If we're not doing the work of God in this church, God will take the sheep somewhere else. And just me as a quote-unquote leader, I don't even like being called that, right? That hits close to home, because I'm like, if I'm not doing it, if we're not doing it here, they're going to go somewhere else. And you might be like, okay, well, good, I'm not a leader in this church, right? There's a lot of need for some teachers to feed the sheep and the lambs, right? There's a lot of need for you as a husband to lead your family. And I'm not saying God's going to take your family away from you, but I'm saying God will take care of things however He needs to take care of them. And sometimes it's in ways that we just can't even explain, okay? God will take care of it. And that goes back to your, well, you just, God just doesn't really understand. God understands your problem more than you understand your problem. And He will take care of it. But, and here's something you need to realize. You want instant gratification, right? It's 2019, we talked about that. I want my problem taken care of right now, right? My husband's an idiot, and somebody needs to tell him that, right? And if nobody else is going to, I will, right? I'm just using that as an example, right? It's very easy, right? We want instant gratification. We want, well, if he's not going to do it, then he needs to be, right? Or if my wife's not going to do it, or if the pastor's not going to do it, then he needs to be. Here's one really cool thing about God that you forget about unless it applies to you. He gave every one of you free will. And He's giving that person that you think is just too thick-headed to understand the chance to get it right on his own. Right? The same way that if God was just going to take care of the problems immediately, He would have taken care of me before I ever got saved. But He gave me the opportunity to realize, oh, that wasn't smart, and to get right. Sometimes the things that you're like, man, if they would just get it, and if God is giving them free will. Now, if they continually, over and over and over again, choose to not do what they know they need to do, then God says He'll take care of it. But don't be so impatient to think that I just give up. Well, praise God He didn't give up on me. Right? So whoever it is that you're thinking, right? Or whatever it is that you're thinking, why doesn't... We think right now, right? That's the age we live in. Give it a minute. Give it a minute. If my wife would have thought the day that she got saved, well, okay, I got saved, but my husband's never going to get saved, right? This guy's an idiot. I need to go find a husband that is saved. Well, praise God she didn't do that. She gave it a minute, and God took care of it, right? And I think He's blessing it now. So just understand that God gave everyone free will, so stop trying to push your will so hard, because God's working some things out. He's trying to work some things out. Now, I'm not saying that everything's going to end up, you know, roses and wildflowers. It's not always going to end up exactly like you wanted. But it will end up like God wanted. Okay? So does that make sense? Because there's a lot of different ways to look at this, but God's taking care of some things. And God does care for His church more than you ever could imagine. And He's taking care of it. And He's doing these things, right? More than you understand. Like, if you step back, it was really good to check out for, it wasn't a week, just a few days. Just kind of check out and, you know, step back. Because sometimes you're so engulfed in life that it's just like, oh my gosh, it's just, what's the next thing? And, you know, just to step back for a minute and just see what God's doing in some people's lives, in some families. You know, it was just a time to reflect on, you know, what God has done over the past, you know, while. God's doing some things. And sometimes you get so caught up in it that you don't see it. Does that make sense? So hopefully you're tracking. Okay, moving on. Gotta keep moving. Verse 17, right? And as for you, so this is, if you want to know what that "you" means, it means you, right? It doesn't mean the shepherds anymore. Okay, we're done talking about that for a second. As for you, that doesn't mean your husband. That doesn't mean your wife. That means you, okay? Just so everybody knows, God's talking to you at this point. He's not talking about the other person anymore. As for you, okay, so everybody's on the same page? Who he's talking to? Okay, here's what he's got to say. I'll take care of those things, but as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between rams and the he-goats. So if you didn't know, he's talking about you, he's comparing you to cattle and goats right now, so what's that make you feel like? Anyway, that's... It's a comparison, we'll get to it, but that's who he's talking about right now. He's talking to you, right? He's like, I'm taking care of all these other things, but as for you, I'll judge all that. Verse 18, seemeth it a small thing to you to have eaten up the good pasture? That you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures? Let me just read through this and I'll explain what he's talking about. And have to drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, that's you as well, they that eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they that drink with that which have fouled with your feet, therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, not me, but God, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with side, with shoulder, and pushed all the disease with your horns, so ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall have no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. What in the world is he talking about? Somebody give me what he's talking about. Right? Because I'll tell you, but when you hear that, what is he talking about? What's he getting at? Kinda. I'll just tell you. Here's your fourth way that God cares for his church. He promotes inward accountability. If you haven't caught on, you know, it's the P words, right? It wasn't on purpose. Like, I was filling in the outline and a couple of them were, and I'm like, okay, now I'm going to circle back around and fix the ones that aren't. I didn't plan on, okay, it's got to be alliterated, but sometimes when you realize, it's like, oh, well, I can circle back around and I can make that a... Or anyway. No. He promotes inward accountability. So what's he talking about? So he's comparing you the church, right? He's comparing you to cattle. And here's what he's saying. Here's what you're doing. You're like, oh, that looks like really good pasture over there. I'm going to go eat that. Well, you've got some right here in front of you, but that looks better. So I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to eat all of that. Oh, and that look over there looks good too. And you're taking of all the good, right? And then you go to get a drink, right? And so, obviously, this isn't how we do, but catch the comparison. You go get a drink, and it's like, oh, that's really clean water over there. I'm going to go slosh my very nasty cattle body through the rest of the water to get to that clean water, right? What you're doing as the church, what we are doing as the church is we're taking all the good, I'm going to go over here. Oh, that ministry's doing good. I'm going to jump over here. And, oh, that looks like it's flourishing. I'm going to go over there. We're taking of all the good, trying to take care of ourselves. Because, you know, Ephesians says, man, we love our own bodies. Right? We're taking care of ourselves. And we don't think nothing about the next guy. We don't think nothing about the next guy walking in the door of the church. We don't think nothing about our brother down the road. Oh, I didn't think about the fact that if I just jump this ministry and go over here, or if I just jump over here and do this and jump over there and do that, then I'm leaving a mess. A mess for the guy following behind me. You picking up what I'm throwing down? Because, man, there is nothing. Well, there might be something. But this is up there on the list of things that really hack me off. Right? And I try to be a pretty even keel kind of guy. I don't really get mad about a lot of things. I don't really get irritated about a lot of things. This really irritates me when I look at the church and I see people who just bounce around. Oh, that looks good. They run over here. Oh, that looks good. And they just leave a path of destruction. And it's like, man, there are people that are just serving. And you're just wasting their time because they're just cleaning up your mess. They're just cleaning up your mess. Right? Now, that's the spiritual side of it. This is physical, too. How many times in life do we just, well, I'm just taking care of me, right? My four, no more. Well, you're making a mess for somebody else to clean up. Right? When I was lost, I looked back at the way that I was living. I was making a mess for a lot of people to have to deal with. Right? And I didn't care. Okay, but now I see things with spiritual eyes, and okay, so now I see, the way that I act not only affects me, it affects my wife. It affects my kids, right? Now, I mean, especially now as my kids grow, they are known by what I'm known for. Not always, but first glance, my kids, my boys especially, because they're getting older, when they find out who their parents are, oh, you're Jason's son. So they immediately have a perception, right? They're known for what I'm known for. Hopefully that's a good thing. Now, they have opportunity in life to make their own name. But for a while, they're living off of yours. Right? My wife has an opportunity to make her own name. But for a while, at first glance, oh, you're Jason's wife. Yeah. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Right? Husbands, right? Wives, you know, oh, you're Abby's husband. Oh, you know, you're Meredith's husband. Whatever. I'm just throwing it out there, right? Huh? Yes. But I'm just saying, you know, what kind of path are you leaving? You know? God's saying something. And here's what I mean by he promotes inward accountability. He lays this out here for them to see, okay, I see your problems, one. Yeah, I know you think I didn't, but I see your problems. I understand them, and I'm going to take care of them. And here's how I'm going to do it. Now, give me a minute. It's going to be in my timing. But while I'm doing that, here's something for you to think about. O ye of many problems, right? I have all these problems. I've got this big thing. Like, if you would just take care of this one thing, then all these other things I'll deal with. Well, that's not how God wants to do it either. He wants you to just give it all to him. But he wants you to lay it all down. And he wants you to look at your life and say, okay, while I'm taking care of this thing that you just really need me to take care of, since I'm taking care of it and you don't have to, and you're just kind of chilling back waiting for me to take care of it, while you're chilling back thinking, why don't you take a look at you and evaluate you for a minute? He's promoting through the church inward accountability. Hey, I'll take care of, you know, getting people saved. I'll take care of the big things, the word getting preached. I'll take care of those things. In the meantime, why don't you just commit to one thing? In the meantime, why don't you just commit to one thing? Why don't you just commit to discipleship? And just do that for a while, right? I'll take care of those other things. Why don't you just commit to a ministry and just deal with that one ministry for a minute, right? Why don't you just commit to whatever it is?
I can see you. She blew out.
God says, why don't you just focus on... Must be a good one. No, it's all good. So for anyone who's listening online and you're wondering what's going on, Abigail's daughter has had an accident. It's all good. So anyway, while Paige is taking care of that, he promotes inward accountability, right? And so let's finish this up. There's a couple more real quick. Verse 22. He says, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them, and I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make them a covenant of peace, and I will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them in the places round about the hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down upon in his season, and there shall be showers of blessing. So he basically, and I'll just wrap it up with that. What's he say? He says, I'm going to take care of it. I'll give you one shepherd, right? Stop trying to follow your husband, and stop trying to follow your pastor, and stop trying to follow your ministry leader, and stop trying to follow your boss, and stop trying to follow... No, those are all good things. But let me just give you one thing to follow. Just follow God, right? Instead of trying so hard to appease so many different people and trying so hard to just please everyone... Now, I know I'm talking to somebody because that's how we're wired, right? We're supposed to do those things, right? You're supposed to submit to your husband. You're supposed to submit to your boss. Do those things. But there's a verse in Ephesians that really just lays it out there. He says, wives, submit unto your husbands, and you can just put anything else in that. Submit to your boss, right? Submit to your leader, right? Whatever. As unto the Lord. I'm trying so hard to please all these people. Well, here, let me explain to you how you can do it. Just please God. Because if you're pleasing God, all those other things will be taken care of. Stop trying so hard to please 8 different people, 10 different people, 12 different people, however many people you're trying to please, right? I don't know. I don't know everything about you. I already told you that. Stop trying to do all that and just please one. Just please God. Right? Here's the fifth way he cares for his church. He proclaims a new covenant, right? And when you get to the New Testament, you know that new covenant is what? That new covenant is Christ. And through Christ, we know that we don't have to be bound by the law anymore. We can just simply serve Christ, right? Stop trying to please so many different people all the time. And I get this way sometimes, guys. I feel like I'm pulled a million different ways. And I'm just, what do we say all the time? I'm just stretched thin, right? I'm just stretched thin. Anybody ever felt that? I do sometimes. It's because I'm trying to please all these other things and I'm not trying to please God. I take God out of up here and I just put him as one of the other things. It's not that I quit trying to please God. I just try to please him as I please everyone else. We have to quit doing that. We have to put God up here, and if you're pleasing him, the other things, they fall into line. That's just the way it works. Right? And you're like, okay, that sounds simple. I told you, I struggle with it too. It does sound simple. It's hard to do, but it can be done. Right? He gave us this new covenant, right? He proclaims a new covenant. And that is Christ. And through Christ, we can do what? Just some things every now and then? If we try real hard? No, I don't think that's how the verse goes. It goes something more along the lines of, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, right? You know, not just when you try real hard, but with Christ, with the new covenant, you can do all things. You can please all people because you're pleasing Christ. Yeah, I know, that sounds really easy. No, it is really easy. Just please Christ. Just try that, right? And if you're the person that's just like, yeah, I get it, it sounds really good, just try it this week, okay? If you don't believe me, just try it this week. Stop trying to please everything else and just please God. And see if things don't begin to fall into line. Just try it. If I'm wrong, come and tell me. We'll talk about it. I'm telling you. Just please God. That's all you got to do. The last thing. Verse 29. Let's wrap this thing up. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown. Now, I don't really know exactly what that is. You have to do some more study. And this is Ezekiel. There's some deep things here. But anyway. And they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I am the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And then verse 31 is for any one of you, or I already told you, but anyone who read this chapter and thought he was really talking about, you know, sheep and shepherds, right? He just throws this in at the end. I think this is really cool. He says, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. He's like, just in case you just totally missed the boat, I'm talking about God and his people. And so if you didn't get that, go back to the beginning and start over. Right? I love that he throws that in there. So here's the last way that God cares for his church. He provides what the world cannot. He provides what the world cannot. He talks about, I'll raise up this plant of renown, right? Basically says, you know what I'm going to do? You're worried about, you know, your shepherd's not taking care of you, you ain't got nothing to eat, and it sounds good that I'm going to do something about it, but, you know, right now I'm worried about how am I going to eat tonight, right? I'm worried about how I'm going to pay the bill next week. You know, I know I'm supposed to be doing this, but how am I going to do this? I get that I'm supposed to act godly. I get that I'm supposed to live godly, but you don't understand. I've got a problem right now. I've been there. Right? I've been there. And here's what he means. I'll provide what the world can't. In ways, I mean, if you want to talk about financially, if you want to talk about spiritually, you just ask me, right? Because it's happened in my life. Every time I struggle with something. I remember back in the day when Paige and I didn't have two dimes. And we didn't have two nickels to rub together, right? And it was just like, I look back at that and I'm like, I have no idea how in the world everything that it was like every month. Now, we didn't have a lot, but we had enough. Right? God will provide what the world can't. Like, the numbers didn't add up. God's numbers did. Right? At the end of the day, when you think, well, that all sounds good. Everything that you've told me for the last 45 minutes sounds really good. But my problem's like right now. So what am I going to do about that? Just trust that God's going to take care of it. That's where the element of what we are really boils down to. Just, we have faith. At the end of the day, I just believe that God will. You know, and that's just what it boils down to. You might be like, well, that's the problem with Christianity. That's the best part of Christianity. You know, the world will argue that, you know, you're just blind. It's just blind faith, right? You're right. And every time I step out in blind faith, God comes through and he just proves to me that that's why you do it. The world wants to say, oh, I trust in things that I can see. Okay, well, step out in blind faith and you'll see something, right? I'm just telling you, that's how it works. That's how it works. All right, so six ways that God cares for the church. I know he's talking to Israel, but there's some things we can take out of it, right? So I'm going to send out the reading list today because I want you all to jump back on. I know everybody's busy. I had to, in my own life, step back and say, I'm busy, but I'm not too busy for God's Word, right? And it wasn't that I wasn't in the Word, but you just need to decide. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm not going to tell you what you need to do. I'm going to encourage you to decide that you're not too busy, right? It's two or three chapters a day. I think God's doing some things through what we're doing, you know? And so I'll send out the list. Just jump on, okay? It's good. And if you have questions, if you're like, I don't know what that means, text me. Text Paige, right? Ladies, please don't text me. Text my wife, and she'll ask me the question. But just do that, okay? I promise God's doing some things. All right. Anybody got any questions? Let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to work in our lives, God. I know that it's hard to see past the things that we have going on in our own life, Lord. But, God, you're doing a lot of things in a lot of people's lives. And if we would just step back and just trust that you are God and that you will take care of it and that you do have a plan and a purpose and that you have thought bigger things for our lives than we ever could have, then where we can really get on board with what you're doing. Lord, I do pray for those in the class who have things going on in their lives, their personal lives. There's a lot going on, Lord, and there's a lot of tragedy and there's a lot of questions of why, Lord, and it really falls into exactly what we're talking about here. It's just, we have faith that you know what you're doing. We have faith in knowing that you are God and that you can grow up good out of what seems really bad. And so, God, I pray that you would just use us this week, Lord. Use the Barnes family this week as lights to what could be a dark situation. Lord, I pray you would use us as a class, as lights in a dark world, just to spread your word, to be God to a world that's not. Lord, I pray you would just send us out this week and just use us. Lord, we do thank you for your Son and your Word. I pray that we would just be diligent to your Word this week. We would jump back on track. It's a new month. It's a time just to refresh and say, I'm in. I'm all in, God. So let's see what you've got for me. So I pray you would just do that this week in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Thanks, God.